here are the finds. If I lift this up, everything will go askew. Wait till we see. Thanks. So here is a Bible. It's good to hold a Bible, I think, still. I'm probably using an app all the time, but we've been, certainly with the children, week by week, we've been trying to get them to hold a Bible and get a feel for what is where. So you can probably see in this big Bible here, the Psalms are kind of in the middle. So if you're ever looking for the Psalms, just open your Bible in the middle and you will probably find it. Found in the Old Testament. How many Psalms are there? Who knows? How many Psalms are there? 150. How many books of Psalms are there? They're split into books. 5. Okay. Interesting information, but doesn't actually tell us very much yet, does it? Genre. What kind of genre are the Psalms? Poetry. Yes. Poetry, song. We've used them as song this morning. We've been singing words from the Psalms this morning. But I wonder, when you think of songs, what song comes into your mind? What's a favourite song for you to sing? Why is that a favourite song? Why is it that you find yourself singing that? So for just 1 minute, I want you to chat. Pauline's going to come and ask you what your favourite song is. But just for 1 minute, chat. What is your favourite song? What do you tend to find yourself singing? When is that? Why do you think that is? He'll put it on when you start. When you start to speak, he'll put it on.
Hello. I'm starting at the back. Because I'm happy.
Despicable me.
Some of you know I'm a kind of musician in disguise, taught music for about 15 years, although I am a physio as well. Lorraine asked me at 10 to 11, could I say what music means to me and Psalms? Well, I hate poetry. I really do, and it's because I had a really not very good English teacher at school, and it was the only exam I've ever failed. I really failed it very well. So I have this angst with poetry. I don't like people telling me what I should be thinking or what I should be saying, what I should be doing. I'm a bit stubborn. But in times of difficulty, there's one song, there are two songs actually. At one point, one of my brothers was being, this is as an adult, he was being particularly horrible to me and accusing me of all sorts of stuff I had not done, which really got me. And there's an Evanescence song. And I looked at the words and I thought, God, I don't actually know whether all those words are suitable for me to sing. And the thought came into my mind, well, tell me what you're thinking. So I just used to play that song over and over and over again because I was so cross that I had been wrongly accused by my brother, who has since sort of apologized. So that was one. But the other one was when our eldest, Graham, was a very small baby. And it was in the days when food intolerances were not recognized. He had incredible number of food intolerances. And those of you who remember the Hockeys and other people will remember that he was really not very well. And I found it an absolute nightmare. And at that point, there was a song which you sometimes still sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Be still for the presence of the Lord. And the last verse of that is, be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Well, that didn't do anything for me. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. This is the bit that got me. No work too hard for him. Mm-hmm. Now, things didn't sort themselves out overnight. But when I at that time, our family, when we were all here, tended to sit at that part of St. Silas. So every time I sit over there and we have anything with that chord progression, it's in D, goes into B minor, all that lot. That chord progression, you musicians will understand exactly what I mean. That chord progression triggers certain ways of me thinking, me responding to God. I love modal harmonies, love minor harmonies, love unusual harmonies, and I don't know what it is, but it's not the poetry. So just to encourage you, you might have things out with, going on in your life that are really not very pleasant. The wrong accusation is something that always gets me. Always. I hate being wrongly accused of things. And when I needed to know God's presence and support, it often came through the music and a few choice words, but not poetry. Lastly, and it happened this morning when we were singing the second of the songs. When I am completely comfortable with the words I'm singing in worship, quite often the names of people will come into my mind who actually need what we're singing about. So, people who came into my mind this morning were my mum, who's not as well as she was last week, and my twin brother who had a hip replacement a couple of weeks ago and normally is her carer. So again, the words, the music, they make me go in different directions, and I would encourage you to sort of allow God to speak to you during worship. He might want you to start praying for somebody else. So I actually stopped singing, which is very bad. No, it's not. So I will stop singing, or to be honest, I mouth the words so that I don't feel up to it. So that's what I did this morning. Right, God, over to Pete, over to my mum. Let's pray for them. Right, okay, you've prayed for them. Let's come back to where you are now. So that's how music affects me.
Thank you. I loved when Pauline says, just tell me what you're thinking. You know, because, can we put the next slide up, please? Because psalms are the songs and poetry that help us to express our feelings and our emotions. They're not words of doctrine, They're words that come from God's people to God and express truth and experience. So there's nothing that we need to withhold. We can get it all out there. Here's a well-known song. You'll know who wrote this. I can't hear. John Newton, thank you. Wrote it when, I'll just read you this. He wrote it from his personal experience. He grew up without any particular religious conviction, but his life's path was formed by a variety of twists and coincidences that were often put into motion by his disobedient insubordination. He was involuntarily forced into service in the Royal Navy. And after leaving the service, he became involved in the Atlantic slave trade. And in 1748, a violent storm battered his vessel off the coast of County Donegal in Ireland so severely that he called out to God for mercy. A moment that for him marked his spiritual conversion. And whilst the boat was being repaired, he wrote this first verse of this very well-known song. It's his song, written by him from his experience. And the Psalms are full of that. Songs written by people, poetry, lyrics set to music, expressing something. Where am I at? What's going on? Where is God in this? It's all going on in the Psalms. Here's another song. This was one of my favourites. Back in 1989, anybody remember this song? Yes. That was my theme tune for a long, long time. By your side, I would stay. In your arms, I would lay. Jesus, lover of my soul, nothing from you I withhold. Because at that point in my life, I had really, really wanted to learn what it was to be under the Lordship of Christ. I loved this song. I sung it constantly. What else can we learn from the Psalms? Let's put the next slide up. So, words spoken to God or expressed truth about God. But there are different types of Psalms. Laments, liturgies, thanksgiving, praise, songs of trust, wisdom and salvation history. All different types of psalm. And we're going to be exploring the first six types over the summer. We won't be doing salvation history. Let's read Psalm 1. Now, in your handout, you've got it in the NIV version, but I'm going to read you another version at the moment, and then we're going to come back to the handout. Just listen to this wee short psalm. This is from The Voice, and it says this. God's blessings follow you and await you at every turn when you don't follow the advice of those who delight in wicked schemes, when you avoid sin's highways, when judgment and sarcasm beckon you, but you refuse. For you, the Eternal's word is your happiness. It is your focus from dusk till dawn. You are like a tree planted by flowing, cool streams of water that never run dry. Your fruit ripens in its time. Your leaves never fade or curl in the summer sun. No matter what you do, you prosper. For those who focus on sin, the story is different. They are like the fallen husk of wheat tossed by an open wind, left deserted and alone. In the end, the wicked will fall in judgment. The guilty will be separated from the innocent. Their road suddenly will end in death. Yet the journey of the righteous has been charted by the Eternal. What kind of picture does that convey? This is one of only a few in the first book of Psalms which isn't attributed to David. And it sets the stage for the entire collection by explaining that a love of God's words, a love of God's ways, is the foundation of a meaningful and fruitful life. I love that wee tree that we've been using for the fruitfulness series. Lots of different variety of fruit, lots of different variety of birds. Diversity going on there. If you take your hand out, I don't know if you've ever taken a psalm and rewritten it yourself, because one of the things about poetry that Pauline was expressing, because she doesn't like it, but one of the things is it can be written in language that's really difficult to grasp. The words can be very picturesque, it can be very metaphorical, and sometimes those pictures don't work for you, and that's fine. So what I've done, very quickly, is rewrite this psalm in words that I think it expresses. So I'm just going to read you the words in bold. It says this: happy is the person who doesn't do what wicked people do. Happy is the person who enjoys pondering God's word. Like a strong, immovable tree, that person will not be moved easily by people telling them the wrong things. But the wicked can easily be blown away. There's something going on in this psalm that says, you know, when you're deeply rooted in God's words, you can stand. And when people come at you with wickedness, you can just waft it away. You know? Blow it away. That's an image that's going on there for the author of this psalm. And then finally, the person who does wicked things isn't pondering God's word and ways, but is destroying their life. There's deep wisdom in this psalm from the person that's writing it. If you meditate, study in, learn from God's words, you will be like a tree that's deeply rooted, drawing up nourishment. If you don't, and you don't apply that truth, all that you're learning, then you'll live in wickedness. You'll live in a way that ultimately leads to a destroyed life. So if you want to know what it is to be happy, the answer is quite simple. Commit yourself to a disciplined life of drinking in God's word. I think that's quite simple. Is it? Is it simple? I was listening to what Mitch was saying about our Muslim brothers and sisters fasting, and the discipline of that fasting is phenomenal. I find that challenging, to have that discipline day after day after day, because when we discipline ourselves in a particular way for a certain amount of time, it becomes habit. It just becomes part of the norm of what we do. So if we discipline ourselves in drinking in God's word day after day after day, it just becomes a normal part of who we are. And that drinking in enables us to stand strong and firm. Wise advice, I think, lived out of human experience, that this work of digging into God's word is hard work. But it's the kind of hard work that gives us energy to shape our lives as God intends us to. That's something that's worth putting to song, I think. That's something to articulate that we can sing for ourselves. One of the things that I think is particularly helpful when we put words to song, whether it be words of prayer or words of belief, is we get into the melody of it and we sing it over and over and over again. And it begins to shape us. My friend is doing her PhD on the topic, do we believe what we sing or do we sing what we believe? And of course, we're both. But actually, we're shaped by what we sing. Jennifer and I were sitting in a service a few weeks ago and we were talking about every song that we were singing and saying, I'm not too sure about that word there or that line there. But The people who write these songs are writing them from their own personal conviction, their own sense of who God is, their experience of God. It's a good thing, I think, to be able to write our words of prayer and praise. And one of the things the psalm does beautifully is it repeats, it kind of parallels line after line, for emphasis. I know a lot of people don't like modern songs that are repetitive, but we see it in the psalms again and again and again. You know, the first verse of this psalm says the same thing three times in a different way. So what I want to ask you to do just now is, in just 5 minutes that we've got really before we bring the service to an end, try and write a psalm, a song, a prayer that you would like to express to God this morning. Use this psalm to help you. Or just write what it is. As Pauline says, you know, tell me what it is you want to say. And say that to God. Okay. 5 minutes and then we'll come back together. Just be still. Consider what God might be saying to us this morning. God, thank you that right at the beginning of how these psalms were shaped and put together, we have this little psalm that reminds us about the wisdom of standing in your words, of studying it, feeding on it, letting it shape us. Thank you, God, that you've gifted us these psalms to help us when we feel... Scary moments. God, thank you. You've gifted us these psalms for moments when we are perhaps down, when we're in those times when we want to celebrate greatly. God, help us to use them in our own times of prayer, in our own times, Lord, when we struggle for the words to say to you. Help us, Lord, as we formulate our own words, help us to just be released to say whatever it is that we need to say to you. That we would hear you in return, God, speaking to us, drawing us in, helping us to stand firm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand and sing.